It's Friday, December 23rd, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
Podcasting almost live.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
All right, it's the Everything Digital Podcast. It's December 23rd, 2005, 2 days away from Christmas, and we'll be talking a lot about some Christmas events in the technology news world, as well as plenty of other topics I've got lined up, because it has certainly been a while since the last show, so we've got a lot to cover. Starting here, this intro music is from American Heartbreak. Yes, that is the band that Michael Butler, the rock and roll geek from rockandrollgeekshow.com, that is the band that he plays in. This is the greatest Xmas song ever written by American Heartbreak. And actually, this song is from the PodSafe Music Network. I decided to use them this time instead of GarageBand.com, my usual source for PodSafe music. I decided to use them because really, on GarageBand, there wasn't too much good Christmas music. I found plenty of okay, mediocre Christmas music. Some of the Christmas music on PodShow, or on PodSafe Music Network, as you'll see later on, is quite good. So I got a couple songs from it, and you'll be hearing them later on in the show. But for now, let's go on to those five-second news headlines. Despite recent incidents, Wikipedia was found by a study to be in general as accurate as the Encyclopedia Britannica. Google has released a version of its Gmail service that is optimized for the browsers on cell phones and other mobile devices, and can be accessed at m.gmail.com. Scientists applying computer emotion recognition software have determined that the Mona Lisa is 83% happy, 9% disgusted, 6% fearful, and 2% angry. Google recently unveiled its music search feature, allowing integration of track, artist, and album results that correspond to the user's searches. And lastly, HP has withdrawn its exclusive support of Sony's Blu-ray Next Generation DVD format in favor of supporting both Blu-ray and Toshiba's HD DVD format. And those are just the short headlines. There are links, as always, to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. All right. So, I'm still using the new outliner, Tau. That means the show notes will have the links, but they won't actually be links, so you'll just have to copy and paste those. I'm planning on getting Omni Outliner pretty soon, so look forward to that, and then I will have some really nice show notes for you up on everythingdigital.org once I get Omni Outliner running. But for now, let's go on to the Apple news first. NBC USA and sci-fi content was recently added to the iTunes Music Store. They added shows such as Battlestar Galactica, The Office on NBC, Law and Order, plenty of other shows, and Monk from USA, as well as vintage NBC content like Knight Rider, Dragnet, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, plenty of other shows. But there were some shows that did not exhibit the pricing model that we've sort of come to associate with the iTunes Music Store. That is the 99 cents for a song, $1.99 for a movie. The Jay Leno's Tonight Show and Late Night with Conan O'Brien shows exhibited $9.99 price points for a one-hour show, at least on Conan, and for 5 to 15-minute clips, well, that's about $1.99. So crazy pricing there. I don't know what they were thinking and why someone would want to pay $9.99 for an hour of content when they can either get it for free from the television or the TiVo or the VCR. And why they would want to pay $9.99 for that. And failure of the day. Why they'd want to pay $9.99 for those shows when they can buy other shows right next to it for $1.99 for a 45-minute to an hour episode. So it just doesn't make sense to me, and I don't know how they're going to sell any movies at this price point, because I don't see how that's worth it to anybody, even for the convenience of having it right there, maybe syncing it to your iPod video. It's just not worth it, in my opinion, for that amount of content to be that expensive. Also, they have, well, speaking of nice price points, they actually have some free content up now. Just recently added a sci-fi Inside Battlestar Galactica episode and a short from Saturday Night Live. And those are available on the iTunes Music Store for free. You can go ahead and download them, and they'll show up in your videos section just like they were a regular TV episode. All right, moving on. Internet Explorer for Mac is no more. Microsoft has issued a statement urging current IE for Mac users to switch to Safari or Firefox immediately. You never thought you'd hear Microsoft say that, did you? Microsoft also said that work has ended on the Mac version of the browser as early as June of this year, and that IE for Mac is no longer available for download on Microsoft's own download website. Microsoft admitted that IE for Mac had not been updated in years, saying users should switch to, quote, most recent web browsing technologies such as Apple's Safari. Well, isn't this a 360-degree turn from Microsoft? Now they're praising Apple's Safari browser for how up-to-date and, you know, great a browser it is? This doesn't sound like Microsoft to me. Are they working with Apple on Safari now? I don't know. I hope not. I guess it just wasn't worth it for them to carry through with Internet Explorer for Mac because, well, Firefox is pretty much taken over, and Mac users having Safari pre-installed, it's really, and Safari works really well with the whole operating system. There's a nice integration there. It's just, it doesn't make any sense to use IE, and I doubt there's many Mac users that do. Maybe those switching from Windows that like a familiar interface, but other than that, if someone buys a Mac, the chances that they're going to use Internet Explorer, even if it's built into that Mac, are extremely low. So I can understand Microsoft's choice here. It's just interesting they chose to recommend Firefox and Safari as alternatives. It just it doesn't seem like something they do. So anyway, some actually nice news there that IE is finally, well, the giant is starting to fall, at least on the Mac platform. We got plenty of Macworld 2006 rumors going on right now. I'm just going to roll through a couple of them. First of all, the Steve Jobs keynote, and these are all predictions. I'm not stating these as facts. These are just predictions that I found around the internet. Steve Jobs' keynote will incorporate the introduction of several new Intel Yona-powered PowerBooks, and that's their Intel's new processor for laptops. It's lower power while still keeping some of the speed and not using up as much battery power, not generating as much heat. It hasn't actually been released in any computer yet, so a lot of people are speculating that the iBooks or the PowerBooks will be the first computers to actually feature the Intel Yona processors. All right, so another rumor here. Also, there will be new Mac Minis, possibly with a media center functionality or something similar to that, maybe featuring Front Row, the Apple remote, an infrared port, various hookups to TV, you know, media center type stuff, DVR, maybe even a cable outlet, you know, to plug a wall cable into. I don't quite know what we're going to see on that yet, but a lot of people are thinking that there's going to be some new Mac Minis out. Also, a new iPod Shuffle. It's been a while since that thing's been updated, so it makes sense that Apple might release a new version of it. And, of course, more iTunes Music Store video content, because although they did make the deals with NBC, Sci-Fi, USA, there's still plenty of other networks out there that are definitely probably hoping to have a deal with Apple based on the the amazing amounts of sales that the companies that have established deals with Apple and have put their content on the iTunes Music Store based on their sales, just ridiculous amounts. I don't have the numbers here, but it's enough to really, I'm sure, make some of the networks turn their heads and go, well, this might be a good way to distribute our content and make money on something that, you know, is already making money, make more money on it with really no extra effort, no extra production investment. It really doesn't take a whole lot. They just gotta convert it to iPod format and give it to Apple, and they sell, you know, thousands and thousands of these copies, and it's just free revenue for them. So it makes sense, and I'm sure we're going to see a lot more networks starting to sign on to this this pricing scheme and this iTunes Music Store idea of a video store. And I think, I'm hoping, CBS may be down the line for this, because they got a lot of great shows that would make sense on there. And also Fox, The Simpsons, a lot of people are hoping that a lot of different Fox shows are going to be on there as well. So hopefully we'll see some more deals, maybe see some more movies, or not movies, maybe movies. That'd be nice. Some more TV shows from the already established companies that are working with Apple, like NBC. Maybe we'd see some of the more popular shows, although they do have a couple of them. It seems like they sort of held back on some of the content just to see how what they did put up there would go. And I think from the demonstration that the past few weeks has been, I think they're going to see some pretty amazing results as far as the staying power of this online video store. All right, so I got some PodSafe music for you here. This is from the Candy Butchers, a very popular artist on the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. This is Give Me a Second Chance for Christmas.
Give me a second chance for Christmas.
All right, and that's Give Me a Second Chance for Christmas from the Candy Butchers. Off the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Okay, and on to general news. That is non-Apple stuff. I do this after the PodSafe Music. That's my new structure. I think I started a couple shows ago, probably. New IM worm was discovered, nicknamed Santa. It affects AIM, MSN, and Yahoo Instant Messenger clients. It sends IMs to contacts of the infected user with links to a, quote, Santa Claus file. That's what it calls it anyway. And clicking on the link displays a picture of Santa Claus, but also secretly installs malicious spyware. Security firm IM Logic currently puts the worm at a medium threat level. So, moral of the story here is, if you get an IM from a friend and they're trying to send you a picture or a file or something, and it, no other messages, no other IMs, they're not saying anything else, all they did is send you a link, be suspicious, because there's a good chance that their computer's infected and they're actually sending you a link to some file that could install malicious spyware on your system. Just common sense, really. There's not a whole lot I can say that will protect you, because it's really, you just got to recognize it when the threat is there. You got to realize what is a legitimate friend trying to send you a picture and what is a program that's infected their computer and trying to get you to click on something that, will not necessarily be healthy for your computer. Now, as far as Mac users are concerned, you don't really have to worry so much because most IM bugs are don't really affect Mac. Can't install on Mac. So if you're using iChat or any Mac client, obviously less susceptible, although you should still be fairly careful, just a general rule. Okay, and now on to some other news. The Federal Trade Commission reports some success for the CAN-SPAM Act. The CAN-SPAM Act was put into place 2 years ago and made it easier for lawsuits to be brought against web and email spammers. It required the senders of bulk email messages to provide an opt-out link so people can easily unsubscribe. A lot of critics of the CAN-SPAM Act said that actually it should require an opt-in link, so the user actually would have to perform some action to be included in the mailing list, instead of the opportunity being readily available for them to unsubscribe. Either way, the FTC says, the Federal Trade Commission says that the current model is working quite well. It says that CAN-SPAM is, quote, effective in providing protection for consumers, although this is despite a 62% climb in the total number of spam messages in the past year, but the FTC looks at it differently. They say since the number of total emails has increased, the actual percentage of all emails that are spam has dropped. It was 77% last year. This year it's 68%, according to an FTC study. So things are looking up and looking down, depending on how you look at it. Because as far as total percentage of all email messages, the number that are spam is going down. But because so many more people are getting email addresses, sending more email messages, the total number, just gross number of spam messages is increasing. So probably good news overall that it is decreasing somewhat and that there is a possibility that legislation and, this act and possibly future acts could be effective in reducing the amount of spam that we get in our inbox every day. Which would certainly be a nice thing. Really interesting bit of news here. The French government has legalized peer-to-peer file sharing of, pretty much about anything. A new amendment makes it perfectly legal to share music and movies over peer-to-peer networks. So this means that the media corporations are not going to be happy. They're already up in arms over the new amendment and are throwing up flags left and right, trying to get the legislation voted down. The amendment states that, quote, authors cannot forbid the reproduction of works that are made on any format from an online communication service when they are intended to be used privately. So that's basically fair use, sort of. It's sort of extending fair use to say, you know, well, people can share them because that's fair use too. And to an extent it is. I mean, you let a friend borrow a DVD, and well, that's fair use. That's I'm sure that, you know, that's not illegal. That's just, you know, well, fair use. But sharing with someone you don't know online, that's considered over the edge here. But the French government is stepping in and saying that no, this is not illegal. People can share them because that is part of fair use. The amendment was passed in France's Union for a Popular Movement, which is the lower house of the country's legislative body, and it was passed with a 30-28 vote, and will move on to the Senate, their upper house, in a matter of weeks, I believe. It can still be overturned if the debate is reopened or if the amendment is voted down when it moves to the French Senate. So still a possibility that this might not actually go through, but it's interesting that it was put into place in the first place, because this is a huge step as far as you know, peer-to-peer networks. I mean, in Australia, I believe, the Kazan network is being sued left and right. And this is the total opposite of that. It's interesting to see how different countries, different societies view this differently. And, of course, depending on the person you ask, some people will say, you know, peer-to-peer file sharing is the greatest thing and is a wonderful way to deliver content, although some people use it for not so legitimate purposes. And others will say the whole technology is bad, don't use it. And that seems to be the point of view of most of the large corporations, the media corporations, and I'm sure that they will hold a pretty stubborn stance on that, try and protect their profit margins and try and keep this their content from getting out and trying to maintain their ability to sue the people who let that content get out. All right, so that's pretty much it. I got some wrap-up music here. This is more Christmas music. This is from Podsafe for Peace. You've probably heard of this song on the Daily Source Code or one of the many podcasts that it's been played on. This is If Every Day Were Christmas from Podsafe for Peace, and this song is part of the Podsafe for Peace movement, which... actually, the profits from sales of this song and when it's played on mainstream radio go to UNICEF as a sort of a holiday charity event. So there's a link in the show notes to the page where the song is posted if you want to buy it or make a donation or whatever. I hit the microphone button there. So as far as contact information, you can post comments at the website, everythingdigital.org. You can subscribe to the podcast-only RSS feed at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml. And if you subscribe to that, you will only get the actual audio podcast. However, if you want the podcast and the text news that I post once in a while, you can go and subscribe to everythingdigital.org/weblog/index.xml. My email is alan@everythingdigital.org. My Skype ID is everythingdigital. My AOL Instant Messenger IM name is podcaster. And you can call 206-9-THE-EDP or 206-984-3337 and leave an audio comment for the Everything Digital podcast. Other than that, thanks for listening and stay subscribed. Just look around now and you will see. Yeah. Everybody's nice and full of life. The gift of those